This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, everybody. My name is Hlubi Mboya-Arnold, and boy, do we have a special show just to round up Women's Month for you. Gareth Armstrong once again has been kicked out of studio because today we're talking to a group of women that are really are changing the world. They're inspirational. It's a kind of woman that we all want to aspire to be. But right here on Future CEOs, it's not just about that. We give you tools, we give you tips, and we give you great mentorship skills to reach your full potential. But today, unlike any other day on Future CEOs, we're talking about women in STEM, women in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And a very good friend of mine, yes, I can call her a friend, all protocol reserved, is joining us in studio just to kickstart this conversation because the topic is about the underrepresentation of women in the tech sector, and not just in South Africa, not just in Africa, but globally. For those of you who are not sure about what Future CEOs is all about, if you are an ambitious entrepreneur, if you are a high potential executive wanting to break those barriers, wanting to break through that glass ceiling, especially being Women's Month, this is the show for you. My name is Hlubi Mboya-Arnold, and without any further ado, all protocol observed, Ambassador of Netherlands, the beautiful Marissa Gerards, welcome to Future CEOs. And our other guests, of course, with protocol observed, but you know what? They're not just women of value or substance, but they are founders of women in tech. And to kickstart this conversation again are these women who are here to empower and to motivate young girls who really want to break into this sphere. So without any further ado, it's Joelle, and it's Yanaka, and it's Nondi, and it's Nokutula. And they'll all explain to you what their passion is and what they do and why they're here in Future CEOs today. So let's kick off with you, Joelle and Yanaka. They're the founders and the co-initiators of Inspiring 50. Please tell us what Inspiring 50 is all about.
Yeah, so we are both entrepreneurs in tech. Yes. And then we discovered there's not that many women.
Yes.
And we thought, well, that's a pity, because not only is working in tech a lot of fun, you can create amazing things, and it's the future. All companies will be tech companies, and for it to be attractive, well, it is attractive for women, but we wanted to show that. We wanted to make role models more visible so that other women would also see, hey, there can be a career for me in technology. And especially since all the jobs will be there, it's extremely important.
And with you, Joelle, obviously, you know, the tech space really is changing the world. What made you create an entrepreneurial space for other women by co-founding Inspiring 50?
I think what we're trying to do is let women see the possibilities in technology. So a lot of women think, "Oh, I don't have I don't have a great idea. I don't know where the opportunity is." But especially in the field of technology, there are dozens of opportunity every day for a company to start. And we just want to see. We just want to show that other women are doing it, so that everybody could be following into that footsteps.
I'm so glad. I'm so honored to have you. Thank you so much to the Ambassador of Netherlands for basically, you know, connecting the dots, and not just it being an African or a South African problem, whereby women are really not in these spaces. You know, they are there's gaps in the market. They're not reaching their full potential. They're hitting that glass ceiling. There is a kind of harassment, and there's a fear of leadership positions, you know. Why do you think this is not happening just in Africa or South Africa, but it's happening globally?
Yeah, Inspiring 15 is operating in different countries so far.
Tell us where, yes.
Yeah, so far just in Europe, in separate countries in Europe, and a pan-European program.
Yeah.
We're also moving to Canada, and we see everywhere the same challenges and the same situation. And for part, this is really within the women. It has to do with self-confidence. We always say, if she can see it, she can be it.
I know.
And that's the part that comes from the women themselves. But also in society, a lot of things can still change to open up the opportunities for women. And well, it's getting better every year, but there's still a lot of work to do.
And don't take this wrong, but it's not just important for the women. It's also very important for the companies, because all kind of research has shown that diverse teams perform better.
Yes.
And that's more than just gender, but it is just the results are better. And it's also important when you create products and services that you create them for all your customers and not just a very tiny part of your customer group. And also not having diverse teams can lead to really issues. A very important example, I think, is the first Apple Health app, where there was nothing for women in there.
Yes.
About female cycles and everything. Nothing was in there. But also, if you look at the developments in artificial intelligence, if all that is created just by a small group of people, white men, then bias will be part of it. The bias and racism that is already in the data will be part of the output. And those consequences can be really big. So it's really relevant for everybody to have more women, more diversity in technology.
Tell us about, from both of you, before we go to our winners, tell us the both of you about how important empowerment is. You know what? The one said that you can educate the girl, and when you do that, you educate a whole community, you educate a whole country, you know. So the women empowerment, which we stand for so rigidly, what I stand for, especially in the context of entrepreneurship, how important was empowerment in creating Inspiring 50 for both of you as founders?
Yeah, I think a network is very important for young women and also women in the middle of their career. I think with Inspiring 50, we're providing that. The women can find each other, and that helps. Second thing that helps is, because of this list coming out, there's no more excuses for big events or for boards or for a board of directors to say, oh, we can't find any women. Mm-hmm. What we right now do is say, oh, we can't find them. Hey, here. Look at this. There's a whole list that you can tap into. So the empowerment comes from multiple angles and from the women themselves by seeing other women doing it. So that's what we found important.
Yeah, I think we also try to inspire these women to become active role models themselves.
Yes.
And when they do that and they inspire others to become role models, you really get this ripple effect where you inspire a lot of people. And also, I'm in the supervisory board of UNICEF, and earlier this year, I visited South Africa as well, a Technogirls program, where I saw girls who were doing job shadowing with STEM companies.
Yes.
And the stories they told, the impact it had on them is so big. And you will change a community, because instead of one girl said, I suddenly feel so much more than just a girl from a township.
Amen.
And another girl said, I suddenly see a future for myself. And when they really grab this opportunity and make the best of it, they are also an example for the other girls in their community, and you will see great things happening from that.
I know you're a big lover of tech. Tell us a little bit, because we've got so much to talk about the prep projects. The books,
yes.
The books. I'm a book lover, so that completely caught my eye. Tell us a little bit about that. Look how she's smiling. If you had a video, you don't know how this woman is beaming. Yes.
No, so, role models are important, but especially also for young girls. And what are role models for us are not per se role models for young girls. But at an age where these girls make super important decisions with regards to their education, they don't really have an idea of what tech is. They think it's boring. They think it's difficult. They don't see it as something for them. But when you ask if they like Instagram and would like to work there, they all say yes. So their view of what technology is, it's just wrong, because Instagram is a tech company. And so we decided, let's create a role model for these girls. So that's when we published Project Prep. where a young girl is starting to learn to goat and create an app, build a business with her friends, and then she goes through everything you go through as an entrepreneur in tech, the real fun stuff, but also the challenges. So her service crash, they have no money, they get sued, they get hacked, they have to go on holiday without Wi-Fi, all these things that you go through. And we are currently finalizing the localization of the book for South Africa, because for it to be a role model for the girls here, the girl must live in South Africa and people must think, oh, this could be me. And then we're going to publish it here as well.
You know what, Yannicka and Joel, I went through the 50, and let me tell you something, Gareth and I, my business partner, which you met, we couldn't believe the caliber of women you have, you know, just shortlisted on the Inspiring 50, and we've got two of them here, and those are the winners. So hello, Ndoni and Nokutula. How
hello.
Are you?
Great.
Black woman in the tech space. Ala, ala.
Ala, ala.
Love that. Tell us about your company. You are the founder of something, and so are you. Please explain to us how you were brought into this, what made you aware of the Inspiring 50, and what these women, Joelle and Yannicka, mean to you, and what they've done in your lives, you know what I mean? So let's start with Nokutula.
Okay, I'm a founder of Limit Breakers Global Foundation.
What is that?
It's a foundation that focuses on mentorship of women, young girls, and youth in technology, and and other careers, maritime careers.
Wow.
Which involves technology.
Correct.
And I also look after rest of Africa for Barclays technology.
Wow.
I look after the 10 countries in infrastructure for Barclays. So how I met Inspiring 50 was based on friends of mine that knew that I had done some work in technology. I was the first female that looked after technology for the FIFA World Cup. And for 2013,
sure.
Orange AFCON, they called me back to look after technology for Orange AFCON in 2013. So when they heard about the Inspiring 50, they insisted that, I think you've been hiding for too long.
Absolutely.
You need to read up. They insisted. They called other people to nominate me. And when I read about it, and I thought, okay, it's about time, because I've always been nominated and I've always ran away. And when I read about this initiative, I was so inspired, especially from people outside our continent. And I was just telling.
So you understand, they see the potential and the value and what it can actually do to be an international, a global contender as a black female in the tech space.
Absolutely.
So they saw that in you.
Absolutely.
And
I was so honored. And I'm very passionate about empowering women in the tech space, especially rural women.
Correct.
The kind of woman that I reach out to is rural girls that can never be exposed in technology, where it's so difficult for a rural child to even know how to use an app. Mm-hmm. I reach out to those girls where, you know, if you are from a rural place and you come to tertiary and maybe your school does not use technology, it becomes more of a challenge for you to even compete in tertiary. So I reach out to those. That's what my foundation does.
Hashtag be bold for change. Yes,
yeah.
Ladies?
Absolutely.
Ndoni.
Yes.
Tell us who you are and what your company is about.
Okay. So first of all, thank you so much for having me. The Netherlands Embassy, you guys are amazing for actually recognizing African talent and actually seeing the importance of tech and women in our country. So thank you so much for that. And also to the Cliff Show, obviously you guys are amazing for actually having us and hearing our voice. I'm Ndoni Mkhunu, and I'm currently doing my PhD at Wits University.
Yeah.
I still have to qualify.
Wait.
And I'm also the founder of Black Women in Science, which is an NGO that encourages researchers and science students to actually do a postgraduate qualification. And I saw this obviously from my walk. I didn't just land in PhD. I had a lot of struggles going up the ladder into getting into the PhD. And I actually started seeing the lack and the gap of mentorship of people of my color, of people who have, of my age even, to actually come and advise at where should I do it? How should I do it? How do I write English and actually make it make sense to write an article. So then my NGO started stemming from my own experience and my own struggles, and I actually realized that it would be great to actually have societies within the university where we can actually have research skills taught to them. What is writing? What is scientific writing? Having other female mentors to come and show their work that they're doing and how they relate it to the business world, and actually be in relation to what you're doing on your research. So that's that's where it started.
You know what, ladies, just for as a group discussion, we're all entrepreneurs or at different stages in our entrepreneurial journey. I would like each one of you, like shortly and quickly, but with a lot of depth, to tell us a moment in that journey which was bad, sad, dark, but did you learn from it? What mistake did you truly make that affected your business, that affected your choices, or affected a partnership business? Because we want to educate our future CEOs that it's not going to be an easy road, that sometimes the entrepreneurial space is a lonely road. Sure. So please take a second, breathe, and think about a dark moment, but a great lesson, a great gem that was learned. Let's start off with the winners, because you're winners.
So for me, I think it was thinking that you can do it all by yourself.
Correct.
That is the biggest mistake I've ever made. And that is obviously taught through the journey of my research, in that you study alone, you do it, you produce, and it's just you and your supervisor and your research. But in the real world, you need people to help you. You need people to actually see and see your weaknesses. So it's not being able to identify me as a leader firstly before I embarked in leading others. And then you see the loopholes in your leadership and in the skills that you're missing. So my advice would probably be that, first of all, the person that's leading is you. You have to understand you. What is your weakness? What irritates you? Where are you strong? Where are you weak? And then lead people and be as authentic as you can be before you make those mistakes.
Noctula?
One of the deepest lessons I learned was when I was consulting, and it was capital. I had a company and I had resources under me. I'll call it industry bullying, because this time when invoices would not be paid, and I had resources that I had to pay quite a lot of money. So I learned that you had to have a big brother or a big sister that you, you know, had to have on your shoulder to, you know. So it's mentorship. What is important is that you need to have an industry mentor. Someone that you that could guide you, whether it's financially or just someone that could guide you to say, when things don't go well, negotiate for you. You know, go and negotiate with that company to release your money sooner or to pay your invoices sooner. Those are lessons that I would like to give to people that are starting off. You know, always negotiate your payments. Because that could make your resources a bit sad. Everybody wants to be paid.
Everybody needs to be paid.
Yes,
you know?
Everybody needs to be paid.
And to the founders of Inspiring 15, hard lessons.
So many hard lessons.
Was it a tough, long road?
It always is, I think. And I think resilience is super important. Get up again and continue the
what
walk.
What was your support structure? Where did you find your strength?
If you are two founders in a company, which is my preference, I think doing this alone is extremely difficult. Also simply because nobody has all the skills completely to do it. So I think having a co-founder is a huge support. And then, of course, your family.
Sure.
Family and friends. A big learning, there's so many learnings. One of the learnings is that in the beginning we were, as a woman, you're very often raised to be a little bit humble. And that's appreciated. And it's also very important, and it is a nice personality. But if you start your own company and you're competing, we were competing with mostly male, all male dominated competitors. And not in Inspiring 50, this was in our commercial company. And they were also mostly from the US. So we were looking like a real small company, and they were looking like a huge company, while in reality we had more people and more customers. So we really learned from that and say, hey, we have to adjust our voice to this. Make it a little bit more, sell it a bit more, what we do. And I think in the beginning we really had to learn that, and not overdoing it, because then you become untrustworthy, but a little bit selling what you do. I think many women need that advice. Yeah. They undersell,
correct.
And that's not necessary.
Correct.
So that's one of the learnings we definitely had with our commercial company.
Yeah, and I think
undervalue yourself as women. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think sorry to interrupt. I think it's more easier for men to say that I'm the person for the job. I might not have the skill set, but I'd learn it as I go on. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just they just have that confidence, and we kind of are. We don't go out there in bravery. We want to be perfect.
Yeah, it's tons of research on that. If women look at a job description, they're looking at what they don't have. Yeah. And men look the other way around and say, oh, I got this, I got that, I got that. And that's all fine. But when you have a company, you're in a competition for the same customers, then you have to really read what are the others doing and adjust your voice to that. That's one of the learnings. But it's appreciated to say, what are you doing? Yeah, we have a small company.
No, you don't.
We're trying to do this. Or it's just we hear that a lot in many also inspiring 50 women, and that it helps to adjust it a little.
Let's be more brave and less perfect.
Mm. Think bigger.
Think bigger. Think bold. Be bold.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what is good to realize, and that's why it's good that this topic is discussed, it is not easy. And we've had a lot of dark moments where everybody told us we should quit, which we never did because we didn't think we should quit. But it can be really tough, and you can feel that everybody else is doing awesome. And one of the things that I'm always telling other entrepreneurs is the grass is not greener on the other side. It's not better there. But what you see from other companies is their press releases and is their marketing and is what they tell you. And if I'm at an event and somebody asks me, how are you doing? You're not going to say, oh, we struggle. No, you're going to say you're awesome. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to have entrepreneurs as friends and to have honest conversations about the real stuff, because that also makes you feel less alone. And When we looked at our competitors, we were like, oh, they raise funding, they do great hires, and our hire was actually really bad, and the funding is delayed, and our releases are delayed. But when you have honest conversations with them, they go through the same. Mm. And that's really important to realize that everybody behind the scenes has struggles, and nothing is perfect. So, in the end, I think the most important message is, despite all the struggles and despite the dark moments, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing more rewarding than building a team, building a product, building a service, and changing the world. And just make sure that you don't think you're alone, and go on.
Leadership qualities, you know, what is, and entrepreneurs and as business leaders and as founders and CEOs, you know, it's all about the people. Yeah. This is a business of relationships, as they said, and it's servitude in essence, correct?
Yeah.
So we all want to be leaders, or we all want to be justifiable followers, you know. So let's talk about leadership, because that's very big for me. Because as a woman, once we are leaders, you know, we raise a community, we raise fellow women in the globe. What for you are great leadership qualities, especially for a businesswoman? Especially, let's not separate even being in the STEM, you know, industry. What makes for a great female business leader?
I think leadership, you need to firstly be able to admit that you made a mistake and be as authentic as you can be in knowing and admitting to your team that actually I don't have it figured out, and let's grow together.
Yeah,
and you don't always have to lead from the front. You can literally lead from the back.
I love that.
And I think we miss those leaders that lead from the back. And I learned that through my organization, that the team that I had were leading me. They ended up saying, Donnie, no, it's not working on campus. We can't have this. And I thought, wow, these are young scientists that are actually taking the charge, and they lead most of the decisions. So you don't have to be aggressive, first of all, and you can literally lead from the back and be as authentic
and
as possible.
And it's so nice, sorry to interject, to see people grow when you give them a sense of responsibility and a sense that, you know, you're empowering them for themselves. You know, yes, they believe in your business strategy and your business culture and your business values, but for them, they're owning their position. So I think that's a great leadership tool as a woman to empower another woman to do. For you, business characteristics of leadership of a woman.
I'd say integrity. And
elaborate.
Integrity in terms of leading the truth, always it's a great value to have when you're a business leader. because if you compromise the truth in business leadership, it can compromise your product. I've seen it during the World Cup, where everybody was a subject matter expert.
I believe you.
Where everybody was a subject matter expert, and you had to depend on all these people to bring their product in order for the World Cup to happen. So if integrity was compromised, right, the World Cup was not going to happen, right? So I had to depend on people giving me that information to say, broadcasting is going to happen at this time, networking is going to happen at this time, you know, power is going to happen at that time. So integrity was very important for me.
Love that.
And instincts. So I had to believe that, you know, what you're telling me is the truth. And being tough.
You know what? I love the fact that she raised instinct, because I think, gosh, as women, we've got that sixth sense. Mm.
Yes, we do. We do.
That's a great point.
And love. You know, they all became my children. Big, big children. Big, big children. I think, and reputation. It carries you. It follows you everywhere you go. I mean, I was given a flag to go and lead in Brazil as well. For personal reason, I couldn't go for the 2014 for Brazil, but that was reputation. Because I had done well for 2010, they called me back for Orange AFCON. They also wanted me to go to Brazil, so that was reputation. So that's a great characteristic to carry as a leader. Reputation speaks for you when you are not there.
Sure, I couldn't have said it better. We've got a caller on the line, and I'm sure it's Gareth Armstrong. Sure. You miss us? Hello?
Hi, Libby.
Hi, Gareth. You're missing us, huh?
You guys are having a fantastic conversation in the studio.
Couldn't keep away. Yes, what's going on? What's your question?
Okay, so let me just first quickly say, ladies, thank you for joining us in the studio, the Future CEO Show. And we're very, very grateful. What I appreciate about what's happening in studio right now is the fact that there's an international element to the conversation, so local and international. And so maybe I can, just a quick question. Are the problems, and this may take a little bit of discussion in studio now, but are the problems that we, or the challenges that we face here in South Africa similar to those abroad? I mean, are there the challenges that women are facing in corporate environments or businesses similar? Are we isolated? Are these unique challenges in South Africa? I hope I haven't missed some of those answers already being spoken about, but there's my question.
Thank you so much, Gareth. See you next week, love. So I think that's to our inspiring 50 founders.
Yeah, I think the challenge is we're not specialists on the South African situation at all. But if we speak to other women in the Inspiring 50 group, we hear such similar stories from wherever we talk to them. And some things are very, very similar. So if you start a company, a couple of things you will run into as a woman. First of all, a lot of decision makers on your customer side are men. If you want to raise funding, most of the investor community is male driven.
Correct.
And I'm not saying they are on purpose not investing in, they want to invest in female tech companies, but you have a challenge of really understanding and reading each other well. So there can be a situation where a woman is, for example, more chatty. And then what happens often is that then men, they might interpret that as, oh, she's not, she can't be tough. Or you can get misreading.
Another good example is when a woman example. Would say, I want to focus on quality and I want to grow organically so I can keep an eye on that. Whatever you see, an investor hears is no ambition. The man that comes next says, oh, I want to conquer the world. And they both have the same end goal, but the way they say things is seen completely different. Not ambitious, super ambitious. But it's also very difficult that when a woman says something, it can be seen as aggressive or emotional, or it's all kind of things are it's labeled
all
in a way
labels.
That's not nice. When a man does the same thing, exactly the same thing. They say, oh, he knows what he wants. He's going after what he wants. So the same thing is labeled differently. And I think, like Joël said, the problems are similar everywhere. The stats are horrible everywhere. I think the biggest difference is in the base situation. Education, access to information, access to networks. So I think in Europe the starting point is different than for a lot of people here.
You know what I mean? All those, that's a universal, everything that you've just spoken about. I mean, the differences between attitude and misrepresentation and labeling. I mean, that's exactly what we get right here at home. But what I'm trying to find is just solutions to that. Well, you know, what we can do to kind of catapult ourselves into a space where we can reach our full potential as women in the tech space or as women leaders in the corporate or in the boardroom, you know. So what would be your first point of reference when it comes to, you know you want to be in the tech space? You know you want to be successful. You're a young entrepreneur. What would be your mentorship or guideline or advice to somebody who's listening to Future CEOs? Look, Tula.
I've just volunteered to start.
Where could you start? Correct.
Yes, I've just volunteered to start looking at Africa. Because I'm exposed to rest of Africa and Barclays. Mm. And going into Africa, I've seen that there is a misrepresentation of women in technology. I mean, I looked at my area and I saw that there's less women in technology in Africa. And I volunteered to look at transformation in technology in Africa. And so that's the first step. And through my foundation, and that's what I'm going to be looking at, getting into Africa and promoting careers for women in Africa. So that's the first step that I'm going to do through my foundation. And I've already received an invitation for Zimbabwe. I've received another invitation for Kenya to have a career and a digital day with women in Kenya. So there is an appetite in rest of Africa. We just have to align with corporate Africa on how we then start taking these young students and how we immerse them into the corporate and business world. So there is an appetite, but it requires people like myself, like yourself, you know, like this, the Inspiring 50, to start creating an enabling environment for these young women to start getting into the corporate, into the business world.
Ndoni, how do you see yourself closing the gap between black and white and male and female in the tech space?
I think the first thing is confidence. I know that during my journey doing science, maths was really rough. And I remember just wanting to give up, but I had a really good support structure at home, my parents. So having a good support structure and actually building it down to a family structure and trying to make them have the kind of confidence to believe that they can actually do women in tech. The second thing that I would actually try bridge the gap is that women in tech and science are missing skills like business skills. Mm-hmm. How do you become an entrepreneur? Mm-hmm. What is finance? Mm-hmm. Those are the gaps that I really, really missed.
And really?
That's the fear that I had. And, you know, the confidence comes in with, first of all, I don't even know. What are you talking about when you're talking about revenue, profits, and all of that stuff? Mm-hmm. And now you want me to just run a company. Are you serious? Mm-hmm. So I would firstly start by encouraging varsities and also NGOs or private companies to offer these women that are in tech or in science to start thinking about their degrees outside of just rich literature and publishing, but actually to start seeing, flip, I actually solved the energy problem. I solved it. You know what I mean? How do I actually make it into money? How do I start a business? How do I register it? What is it? We need to start conquering these sectors and actually understanding them. And if you don't understand them
long term,
and if you don't understand them, have the capacity to say, I want an accountant. I want someone who's going to work with me to understand the business sector of tech. And that way, then we can be able to grow these companies.
Absolutely. Inspiring 50 Founders, on your website, I saw you guys have got a great partnerships with great people. Tell us about the importance of partnerships as founders in a business.
Yeah, well, if I can say a little bit about your previous question,
yes,
think it's really important to realize that there's not one silver bullet that's going to solve this. Mm. It's a really wide variety of things that need to happen, and that's role models, but also hands-on experience, education, digital skills, entrepreneurship. Yeah. But I think what can make the biggest difference, if everybody that listens and everybody in this country realizes, it can start with them. Mm-hmm. And it starts at home. It starts with the way you talk to your kids.
Yeah.
If you tell them they can achieve everything, or if you tell them, no, that's not for you. The way you treat boys and girls very differently, the way you encourage them.
Socialization.
Yeah, it really starts with that. It really starts with that. So everybody can play a role in this. You don't need to just look at the role models that you look up to. It can start with you. And I think that people should realize it's a very small step to be active here. So yeah. Then on your other question, the partnerships.
Yeah.
I think that's crucial because you always do things together, and together you can make each other stronger. You can strengthen each other's network, and we always look for partnerships, a way to help others and see how others can help us. And yeah, it's just so very valuable on an Inspiring 50 level, but also on a personal level I've experienced it, where I've had a few very powerful women in my life who said, I believe in you, I'm actually going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So not just mentors, but actual supporters, and who do things for you. And right now, myself, when I'm in a position to help others, I also do it. So don't just say you help somebody, actually help them. It makes such a big difference for somebody who's starting their career.
I can't believe it's almost at the end of the show. Can you?
No.
You know what? I've really had... you know what? We all want to feel a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
I think we all feel that we want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And I know in this room you want to be extraordinary at what we do. And thank you for inspiring me. And as I said just before we came into studio, I'm that person listening. Just as much as I'm in front of you asking you the questions, I'm that entrepreneur listening and being inspired. So just to close off, look back 10 years ago and you're looking into the mirror. What would you say to yourself about your entrepreneurial journey? What advice would you give yourself about the next 10 or 20 years of your life? What would you say to yourself? Let's start with you, Janneke. Janneke, sorry. Both beautiful.
I think the most important advice I give to entrepreneurs is, and I to myself, is dream big. You really can achieve everything. Go after it and set a goal and just make sure you make it happen. You are the one that can make it happen.
Noctula.
What are you waiting for? That's what. What are you waiting for? The time is now. 10 years from now, I'll say that same thing. What are you waiting for? The time is now.
I would say, if it's not working out now, it will work out, and you can plan everything to a certain level, but then sometimes it will just come together. So, don't give up and keep working on it.
Absolutely, and many entrepreneurs or to be there thinking, I need that big idea, I need that new idea, I don't know something new. You don't have to do something completely new. You can pick up something that's already being done and do it much, much better in a different way, and that's your opportunity already for entrepreneurship.
Thank you so much to all these wonderful, beautiful, powerful women of tech in studio. And you are listening to Future CEOs. Once again, all protocol reserved. I am blessed. I have the privilege of having in studio with me the Ambassador of Netherlands, Marissa Gerards. An open quote, it's time to recognize the many accomplished, fierce, and all too often overlooked women in the technology space who live and work in and around the globe. These women set a shining example of future leaders and entrepreneurs. Hashtag be bold for change. See you next week, everybody. Bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.